My name is Al Laharde. I am 33 years old. Today is September 21st, 2017, and I'm speaking with Kristen Laharde, who is my beloved wife, and we are recording in Escondido, California. So, Kristen, please tell me about the first time we met and what went through your mind.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So, many years ago, we were both in high school at Point Loma High, and I think it was freshman year, and we had a geography class together. And at first, I didn't really notice you because you were a very quiet boy. You liked to kind of sit in the back. Then as the class started progressing, I would look over at you, and I noticed you had very nice skin. You had a nice face. I thought, he's kind of cute. And then one day, I said something sarcastic, like I normally do, and it got not only the teacher laughing, but the class laughing. And for the first time, I saw you smile. And I thought, there's something there. Hello. And I just scooted right up to you and started trying to talk to you, and you were not interested in the slightest.
Yeah, I remember. I was like, who's this white girl that's talking too much?
Well,
she wants something from me.
Yeah, no, I did. I like Filipino men. I enjoy Filipino men ever since I was a little girl, and I saw Dante Basco, the actor, play Rufio in a movie called Hook.
So I was your Dante Basco.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you were.
Alrighty. So, to catch us up, you started talking, and there was a point where we started dating.
Well,
it was kind of not really, but from what you gather, please describe our first date.
Okay, so I got a phone call from you. You're very nervous and you were stuttering, and I didn't really get why you were calling. But finally, after some cajoling, you spit it out and you asked me to the homecoming dance, which is one of the first dances of the year. And that's where you get kind of dressed up in semi formal outfits, and you know, you go dancing. And I was very honored, and I said, yes, absolutely, I'd love to be your date. So, you pulled up and you got out. Your sister drove you. She was so kind to be our chauffeur for the evening. And you looked so handsome in this light beige tan outfit. You had a cool jacket. You had a nice shirt on and some slacks. And I had bought a new dress and some new black Mary Jane shoes. And I curled my hair for the occasion. And you took me to this very nice restaurant. It was Japanese style cuisine, which I had never had before. So, when looking at the menu and trying to decipher what all of it meant, I was very nervous. I ignorantly asked the waiter if they had any beef or broccoli or orange chicken on the menu, because I was not educated enough to realize that there are multiple types of Asian cuisines out there. And I was mortified when the waiter very kindly replied, ma'am, this is a Japanese restaurant. I was so embarrassed. But it was my first sushi experience, and I went very safe and I ordered the California roll because I thought, well, that must taste good because I'm in the state of California. After dinner, I didn't eat very much, because again, I was an ignorant white girl, just to put that out there. We went to the dance, and I remember being completely shocked, just absolutely shocked at how amazing of a dancer you were. because you were so shy. So I didn't even expect going to the dance that we would really dance. I figured we would sit at a table and maybe chit-chat. Oh, no. We walked in there. You almost left me behind. Like, you went to the middle of the dance floor, and we were just cutting up a rug, and you were so good, and I was so impressed. Mm-hmm. And we had so much fun. We were laughing, and we took pictures at the dance. Then it was time to go home. Now, I don't remember this part, but you do. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you should take it from there. But I'm sure it was nice.
Okay.
So you said that we kissed.
Yes.
Which is great. I awesome. I don't remember that.
So what do you remember?
I remember my feet hurting.
Okay.
Really bad. And that's what I was concentrating on, because I wanted to look really pretty for you. Mm-hmm. And I've always been really insecure about my legs, because I don't have my mom's legs, which are very long, graceful. I have my dad's like stocky legs. So it's something I was very self-conscious about, and I wanted to just be like so pretty for you. Mm-hmm. And I just remember by the end of the night, like, all I wanted to do was like get home in my pajamas. So it wasn't about you. I was just in my own head.
Uh-huh.
But the interesting thing is Mom took pictures.
Yeah.
Should we bring that part up later?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So she took her own set of pictures. And out of all my high school experiences and other dances and maybe other people I've dated and stuff like that, our pictures are the only ones that I saved.
So that was our first date.
That was our first date.
Wow. Okay. Now, tell me a favorite memory of me. It could just be any time.
At any time?
Something that popped up in your head. What's a favorite memory?
Dancing. Yeah. I noticed that you are completely jubilant when you're dancing. It's something comes over you. You're kind of a different person. You're very confident, and you don't even need a dance partner. Like, when you hear music that moves you, like, you are in the zone. And I think one of my favorite times of you dancing is a birthday celebration we set up for you. I think it was like 26th, 27th birthday.
Yeah.
And we had karaoke. We had gone to karaoke and all of that. And all of my friends had shown up for you. And some of your friends didn't, and it was kind of sad. But we were going to make the best of it, and we were going to a concert. And, you know, I was going to be your DD, and I want to make sure you had a really good time. And that included having adult beverages.
Yeah.
More than one. More than five. And we were at this concert venue on a college campus. And one of the bands came on that you really enjoyed, one of the MCs, and you were dancing and cutting up a rug. However, your coordination was slightly off because you were, in fact, inebriated. And you kept bumping into these, to me, very scary-looking, large men. And anytime I've seen a situation like that happen, a fight always happens. So I was ready. I put my hair in my ponytail. I took off my earrings. Like, I was ready to defend my honey. It was his birthday. But I was terrified. I was like, oh my God, we're going to fight. They're going to get so mad. They kept looking over at you. So I gently placed my hand on this very large man's arm that you had, like, completely almost knocked over and pushed him into a trash can. And I go, I'm so sorry. It's his birthday. And this group of dudes looked at me. And they started smiling, and they turn and look at you, and they go, look at him. Just look at him. He's so happy right now. Like, they're like, yeah, no, we can tell he's drunk, but we've never seen someone just, he's like, no one's talking to him. He's not interacting with anybody. Like, he is in his own zone, but he is just, like, so happy. Like, God bless. Happy birthday. Let him fall over. Let him run into us. Like, we know it's not a mean thing. We know he's not being disrespectful. They're like, are you okay? Like, you're the only one taking care of him? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, do you need some water? Like, clearly you're the DD. I was like, yeah, some water would be nice, actually. Thanks. And that, like, really smoothed things over. But I think that's one of my favorite memories, because you were just so happy.
Yeah.
And you can be very internal. with your feelings and your emotions and even how you express. You can be very stone face. That's kind of a natural thing about you. So it was really nice to see this jubilation be reflected on the outside as well as on the inside. And it's one of my favorite memories of you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, love.
Mm-hmm.
So, we got married 4 years ago, right? 4 years ago.
Yes.
Could you tell me when you know, or when you knew I was the one?
Well, I can tell you my version, and then I'll tell you what my mom said.
This is your version.
Okay. So, after many, 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 many years of you not stepping up and asking me out on a second date, forcing me to face the tumultuous dating world on my own,
mm-hmm.
and date a lot of frogs, God brought us together and we reconnected in our 20s, our late 20s. And it was our official third date. And the deal was the night before our third date. You're right. The night before our third date, I had a friend over for dinner, and you were coming over to meet my mom. And my mom came home, and she was in a lot of pain. She takes medication, and she was tired. And sometimes when she's tired, she forgets things. So I had served pasta, because we're an Italian family. Sometimes we'll serve wine with pasta. They're kind of best friends. They go hand in hand. So she had had a couple glasses of wine with dinner, but forgotten that she had taken pain medication. So my mommy may have been messed up like a person who just turned 21 and went to TJ for the birthday. Mm-hmm. It was not a... it was a sloppy sight. Things were falling and breaking. Maybe some inappropriate questions were happening. Word slurry, you know, things like that. And it's not anything my mom would ever do intentionally, you know. It was just one of those movie situations where, you know, you want everything to go a certain way and you want everything to be perfect and you work so hard and then it just kind of all goes to hell in a handbasket to the point where it's comical. Like, it's gone so bad that in my mind, I was like, there's no way this kid is going to come back and ask me for another date. He's going to see all of this and be like, oh, yeah, no thanks. No, I'm good. I'm good. But... we went to go, my friend sent us to go get some tea so she could help put mom to bed and just give us a moment. Her name was Amanda Grace, and she befit her name. And I fully expected you to be like, what the F was that? Like, what's happening? This is crazy. I gotta go. I could predict what you were gonna say. However, I was wrong. You were completely warm and gentle and kind and understanding, and you were complimenting my mother and you were complimenting the dinner and you were laughing off the situation and you were a complete gentleman because you knew how important my mom is to me and that we are a package deal. It has always been the two of us and it will always be the two of us. So anyone I was choosing to bring into our lives, I chose with care and that it was a very rare opportunity. And you took it as seriously as I meant it to be. And I remember thinking about all of that during our third date the following day when we were at dinner. And it was a rooftop concert with your little girlfriend, Anuheya, your little musical girlfriend. You know, she's cute and talented, whatever. And you had put your arms around me and you just kind of leaned your head next to mine, but it was very familiar, like something you had always done. And I remember thinking, oh, shit, shoot, sorry, I can't.
It's okay.
Sorry. It's okay. I'm in love. And then I was like, no, I'm independent. Love isn't really real. It's too soon. Yeah, right. Like, what am I thinking? Like, that's so stupid. No, girl, calm down. It's just because he's cute. And this little voice inside me said, Kristen, don't self-sabotage. Think about it. Listen to your feelings, because you're really good at burying your feelings and just, you know, moving forward. And that's when I went, oh, no. Yeah, I'm in love. Like, this is it for me. And I remember feeling terrified, like utter terror. I wanted to throw up. I started shaking. And I was like, well, I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going to be the first one to say it. He doesn't need to know. Like, it's fine, because there's no way. There's no way. It's way too soon. There's no way he could feel the same about me. But I knew with such certainty. And that's what scared me, is that I'd never had such certainty before. I had always knew with any relationship I got into, it's not the right one. It's not going to work out. But sometimes I would move forward just because I was lonely, or I wouldn't listen to reason. You know, it was a form of rebellion or things like that. And, you know, that old adage, when you know, you know, I always thought was such a stupid saying, but it's real. When you know, you know, and you can't describe it. But in that moment, I knew I'm in deep. This is it. And I'm done. I'm hooked. And I'm in trouble.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you know, you got me good.
So, I know this is something that you love to tell. But to share, could you retell the story of how we got engaged?
Yes, I can. Okay. So, it was our 1-year anniversary of dating. And I was so excited, because I thought, man, my presence, I got it in the bag. Like, I was gonna out-present you. I was like, this guy's gonna know I love him so much. He's gonna be like, what? I have the best girlfriend ever. And I was gonna be like, yeah, you're welcome. That did not happen, because you blew it out of the water, to where I still cannot come up with anything as good as this weekend. So we wake up. No, you picked me up. Are we together?
I picked you up.
You picked me up early in the morning, and I don't do well in the mornings. And you had a Starbucks coffee, and already I was like, oh my God, I love you so much. And you said, okay, babe, we're going to go on a trip. I was like, okay. So we had passes to Disneyland that you got me for my birthday prior. And that part I knew. You're like, I want to take you away to Disneyland. I was like, that's going to be so much fun. Heck yeah. Like, let's go for the day. What a great idea. What a great idea. But I brought presents to your presents in the car. And then you said, well, we'll find a hotel or something and spend the night up there. And I said, okay, great. So you gave me your phone, because you had a better phone than I did at the time, and you purposely liked to distract me, and you said, play with my phone. And there's this game that I like to play called Mahjong. I could play that game for hours. I still do. Not the real Mahjong, but it's like a digital version of Mahjong. It's basically match tiles, but, you know, I digress. So I have my head down, playing my little Mahjong. I'm kicking it. I'm winning. And all of a sudden, I look up, and you go, babe, can you grab something from the visor? And I go, okay. And it's this envelope that says the Laharde vacation. I was like, what? And I open it. And at the moment I open it, it says, congratulations on your reservation for the Disneyland Hotel. And I look up, and there's the sign of Disneyland Hotel. And we're turning into the parking lot of the Disneyland Hotel. So as I do, I completely reacted calmly and nicely and quietly said, thank you. Which isn't the truth at all. Basically, I lost my ever-loving mind and was hopping up and down in my car seat, screaming at the top of my lungs and shaking my fists in excitement and joy, because I had never stayed in the Disneyland Hotel. It always had been a dream. I couldn't believe it. And in the back of my mind, I was like, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap. Like, my gifts. As the day wore on, my gift level giving just went down to where I didn't even want to give them to you because I was like, why? You're going to be just unimpressed. So we check in, we take pictures with Rafiki, and we're trying to find our hotel room. Now, at the time, it wasn't ready yet, so we had to go kind of around downtown Disney. So this was in May. Our anniversary is in May. So if you've ever been in Southern California during May, it's extremely hot.
We had two anniversaries, but one of them.
Yeah, this is, you know, because I'm getting there. Okay. Yeah. So, and I don't do well in the heat because I'm very pale and I get very fussy. And we had been up all morning, and so we kind of had to wait around till I think it was 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock. And I was tired, so then we're trying to find our hotel room, and it's, you know, a certain number. And we would find, I'm looking at hotel rooms, there'd be a hotel room, then this weird entryway, other hotel rooms, and then the wall. So I keep passing this little entryway area, and I go, honey, this is a wall. Like, I think that we're on the wrong floor. We need to go up to the next floor because we cannot find our hotel room. It doesn't exist. I'm tired. We need to, like, get in the elevator, turn around, go back down the long hallway. And you go to this entryway. You're like, love, what is this? I'm like, I don't know. It's like the janitor's closet. Some weird thing. I don't know. You're like, just come here. I'm like, I want to go upstairs. I'm so cranky. And you said, well, isn't it this number? And I said, wait. And on the plaque, it says fairy tale suite. I start immediately bawling my eyes out because I feel so unworthy. I don't feel like I deserve all of this niceness. It's already way too much. I'm so overwhelmed. And I was like, you shouldn't be spending all of your money on me like this. Like, that's not nice. It's your money. And he said, come on, babe, come on. And we open the door. I'll never forget it. You open the door and you close it. And the first sound you hear are the tinkling of bells. Then, I kid you not, a green LED light appears on the wall of your hotel room and is flying. Yeah, Tinkerbell's light. Just, yep, And flies around the room and you have to follow it. Like, what is happening with her tinkling chimes? And then she appears in a window where a light turns on and there is a Swarovski crystal replica of Disney's castle that she waves to you in the window and then flies around and disappears behind it. And that's literally the entryway to this hotel suite. So, as you can already imagine, I am freaking out. We haven't even made it to the bathroom. Now, on our left-hand side, the first open door is our bathroom. It has granite marble countertops. However, in the marble tops are flickering twinkle lights as if fairies live in your countertops. Okay. Then you turn on the lights and you're greeted by this gorgeous bathroom. It takes your breath away. This beautiful spa jacuzzi-like tub that has a beautiful white mosaic of the castle, and there's white orchids everywhere. I mean, it's stunning. So then we leave the bathroom, and you go down the two steps, and you enter the room. You look to your left. There is a Cinderella Princess 4-poster solid oak cherry canopy bed. There is ornate woodwork dresser that you push a button and the TV rises up out of the dresser. What? Like what? And then there is this beautiful antique, it's a very light green and gold chaise lounge. And a lovely table and two chairs. Now, on the bed are two robes with our names stitched into them, a rose and a heart-shaped petal of flowers, and a box was a box on the bed. And I thought, oh my God, is he gonna, there might be a ring in there. I was like, there's gonna be a ring in there. Oh my God, I was freaking out. So I opened the box and I'm trying to act very cool and calm and collected. And it's just chocolate. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, you know, Tinkerbell was on the box. It would have been a really good opportunity for there to be a ring in there. But okay, cool. You know, it's our anniversary, whatever. And of course, you know, I'm jumping up and down with joy. And we get dressed and he said, he had bought me this very beautiful dress for dinner. Okay. And so we go to dinner at the Blue Bayou. And after dinner comes dessert. And I start thinking like, oh my God, maybe he's going to propose to me. So dessert happens, no ring. So I'm like, okay, fine. So as we're walking, my feet start hurting and the sun is setting. And I thought, you know, it might be a really nice view if I got proposed to in front of Sleeping Beauty's castle during a sunset. So we sat down on a bench and nothing was happening. And then I thought to myself, I go, Kristen, you are being a selfish, spoiled, rotten child. You are ruining your anniversary. He will propose to you when he is ready. Now is not the time. You need to let go and just have fun. So I, in that moment, I let it go. And I said, you know what? I'm being such a brat. So I said, you know, let's go home. And I have to take a shower. So as I was taking a shower, you were, unbeknownst to me, you were setting up something. And I come in and I sit down. And you go, honey, I have one more present. And then I start crying. And I was like, you win. You win in the present giving. I have nothing else. You got like some CDs and a couple of graphic novels. Okay. Congratulations. You win. You're like, be quiet and sit down. And so you got me this very cute little book that was kind of a fill in the blank. If our love was a cocktail, it would be named this. If our love was a dessert, it would be this. And as we're reading through the pages, you're on your knees and I'm sitting on the shade lounge. So you're just kind of over me. And I come to this page that says, I'll never forget a time when. And you said, when I asked you to be my Cinderella, May 22nd, 2012. And I thought you were kind of dyslexic, like you were asking me when you had been me to be your girlfriend. I said, no, honey, it's 2011. And you kind of rolled your eyes because I think I was inadvertently ruining the moment. And in your hand, you go, do you know what this is? And I peek inside your hand and go, I know that messy bun. I replicate that messy bun. And it was a little Cinderella kabuki doll. And then you start saying the most romantic, beautiful things I've ever said. And I started doing a really, really ugly cry. And then you asked me to marry you. And then I said, are you sure? Because I said, I'm stubborn, hard-headed, and fussy. And this is my cry face. Do you want to wake up to that? And you said yes. And I really said yes and made you ask me again three more times. And that is the story of our engagement. It was the most magical night of my life.
I remember it. Now, I know that was a wonderful moment, but besides the engagement and the things that we did when we first got together, could you share from the top of your head another happiest moment that we had together?
The birth of our son. The birth of our son. My son was breached, and I wasn't allowed to have a natural delivery, which is something that was very important to me because I'm also allergic to narcotics. I can't have pain meds. I could go into anaphylactic shock and lose my life over it. So I was committed to having that experience and having a vaginal birth. But a few weeks before he was due, because of the way he was breached, the doctor said he's extremely high risk for infection, for your water breaking and the cord wrapping around him. So I was put on mandatory bed rest. And when I say bed rest, it wasn't like, oh, take it easy. It was, I could not leave my bed. I could go to the bathroom, maybe take a shower, but that's it. My water could not break. And I had to have a scheduled C-section, mandatory. So we went in, and I was very nervous. And they did give me an epidural, but they couldn't put any pain meds in it. And I said, I understand. And that stressed out the anesthesiologist very much. And as I was under the knife, my epidural wore off in the first 10 minutes. And I was under the knife for an hour. And I could start to feel everything as the doctors were calmly talking about a golf lesson they were going to go have. And I had mentioned, I can feel everything. And everyone started freaking out. And they said, your body's going to go into shock right now, and that could harm the baby. So they had to start moving very quickly to get the baby out. And I remembered, okay, I don't want to tense my body to put it into more shock and pain. So I started saying Hail Marys. I started praying. And I felt our son being taken out of my body. And it was a beautiful moment and also a sad moment, because I felt him being torn from me. And in that moment, I had this irrational fear of, like, I can't protect him. He's not in me. And I didn't hear anything for a second. And I remember, like, where's my baby? Where's my baby? How's my baby? And he cried, and they said, he's perfect, and he's healthy. And he was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen in my life. And that was our happiest moment.
I agree with that.
Yeah. The birth of our son.
So, we only have about 15 minutes left.
Okay.
But could you share what are the most important lessons you learned from me?
Yeah. Faith, trust, and the ability to allow myself to be weak and to lean on you for support, and to have faith that God is going to make everything okay in our lives, and that he is the center in our lives, and that he brought us together, and trust in that instead of allowing myself to be fearful and allowing the devil to influence that. You teach me that it's okay to be still and to be quiet, and that if I am still and quiet and I'm not doing something, that I'm still contributing. I have a problem sometimes with being still, because then I feel like I'm not helping enough or I'm not doing enough, because I see so much of, you know, chaos and sadness and things around me happening, that I feel guilty sometimes if I don't, that I don't focus on that. And you remind me that self-care is important, and it's okay to do things for yourself, maybe buy a book or a face mask, and even if we're struggling or having a harder time, that it's okay to still get little things for yourself that make you happy, just so you can get recentered. And that always impresses me, that you always support me no matter what. And it's unconditional, and that's what I've learned from you, is unconditional love.
Thank you, love. Mm-hmm. So at the end of this interview, mm-hmm. I'm going to take a few moments to tell you what you mean to me.
Oh.
And we'll go from there.
Okay.
So I know one of the biggest things today is actually our wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
So we got married in the church.
Yes, we did.
4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's been a beautiful 4 years. And it was one of the best decisions I've ever made, to open my heart and to allow myself to grow, to earn your love, and to become your husband. And it's been beautiful to hear these stories that you shared from when we first met as teenagers.
Yeah.
As really awkward teenagers.
It was so awkward.
There's so much detail I can add to that, to the stories that Christian shared, but it's one of the things where we came together and we grew apart.
Yeah.
But our hearts found each other again.
When it was time.
Mm-hmm. And it means so much to be able to sit here today and to be able to record this, because the other day, the biggest thing Kristen always asks is, I don't care about what you get me, which I get, you know, you probably heard already from my wife, that I'm pretty good at getting some really thoughtful gifts, but it's more about sitting down and at the least writing down our feelings, our love for each other. And so love letters. And writing has always been a challenge for me, but I do it because of Kristen, because she's worth it. And so I figured this time around that I do something a little bit better. Okay. Or different. Not say better. But then, so I titled this as Better Than a Love Letter. So I wanted to create a tradition where maybe from time to time we could check back and create these little story core things where we could just ask us these questions. So one day when our son and daughter grow up, they could hear mom and dad talk, and or other people could hear about us talk and learn from how we have faith and trust and how you create a safe space for two people to grow and to support each other and to grow a family. This is just one of the many avenues that anyone could go and take, but this is just a capsule in time for me to say that Kristen Lynn Laharte, I love you very much. I'm so happy that I married you 4 years ago. Thank you for being the mother of my son and the future mother of my daughter. Thank you for being the best wife and best friend. And thank you for taking the time to share these stories with whoever may listen, whether it be our son, our friends and family, someone from across the world, or maybe no one at all, maybe just us. But that's okay.
I love you so much.
I love you very much.
I love you very much.
God bless you, my love.
God bless you, Alger.
From the Lahartes to anyone who's listening, God bless you too. May you find love. And for all our friends and family who finds this down the road, it's because of your love that this love exists. And thanks be to God for you and our families.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to find love, to accept love. And don't be afraid to be yourself. Know how to make yourself happy and never try to change someone. And demand to be accepted and loved as is, because as is, you are perfect and you are as you should be. You can grow together and you can change together, but don't force it because there's something that you don't like about each other. That's not love, and love is never hurtful. Love is never cruel, and love never insults.
I love you, babe.
I love you, my darling.
So in closing, let's go get some ice cream.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Sounds good. I love you. I love you too.